Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Yeah, man, just put some ice on it, Chris. You'll be good as gold. All right, man. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 230, episode 2 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And you know what? This is one of those rare days that something happens that it awakens everyone's consciousness, subconsciousness. We're seeing all kinds of things, and we'll get to that. I think you know what we're talking about. But anyway, it's Tuesday, March 29th. 2022, that means it's National Lemon Chiffon Day. For all you Lemon Chiffon fans out there, congratulations to you. This is your day. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Booty, 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 cupcakes in the air. Booty, 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 cupcakes in the air. Booty, 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 cupcakes in the air. Boop, boogity. I see you rip cupcake booties from the bottom, place on top, all goofy. Put it to your mouth. Take a bite or two. Look down, see it crumble all over you. Eat it right, eat it right, eat it right. Okay, shout out to Rumham McDuck, where we were talking about the Twitter or the internet cupcake eating hack that we saw Anne Hathaway do, where she ripped the bottom of the cupcake and put it on top, and we're like, this is violencia. But shout out to Rumham McDuck for that Miss New Booty Bubba Sparks with the three X's. You really honored his name when you submitted that, AKA. But enough about me. It's really about who's joining me as guest co-host. Jack is out for a little bit. He's taking a bit of a breather. You know what I mean? Kids on spring break doing his thing. And while that's happening, I can only say that I'm thrilled and honored. And, you know, just to be joined by my guest host today. Please give it up for my brother, Jaquise Neal!
Now this is a story all about how Will Smith slapped the shit out of Chris Rock. That's it! No AKAs, niggas! That's it! We ain't got nothing to say but that. I'm Jaquise, everybody. What the fuck is up? What up, niggas? Chris Rock got the shit slapped out of him by Will Smith.
But he could have killed him, Jaquise. He could have killed him.
I know he could have killed him. I know he could have killed him.
Could have killed him.
But with an open hand. He restrained. He restrained. Will told y'all when he made Wild Wild West, man. He was like, you better watch your lip. You better watch your lip. All right? Niggas up here, niggas thought he was like getting jiggy with it, and they was like, oh, he ain't from West Philly no more. All
right? Right.
All right. All right, we can talk about it later, but what's up, everybody? How you doing?
Hey.
Lovely
what's
to good, be
Jakes?
Here.
What's good, Jakes? Were you watching live?
What's up? I was watching live, bro.
Okay.
And we'll talk about this later. I was so fucking high, and after that moment, I was not anymore.
Yeah, that I remember seeing like the first clip of it, and I was like, no. And I was like, I guess I gotta keep watching the rest now. Anyway, like we said, we're gonna get to that. But first, we need to introduce today's guest. You know, we're thrilled today to have a guest that, you know, you might know them from their just hilarious stand-up comedy. By the way, if you are in Minneapolis, April 13th through 16th, I know Minneapolis, like, gang, you're out there because we did a fucking live show out there. So you best show up at the Acme Comedy Company for this man, April 13th to 16th. You know, brilliant actor, writer, maybe written on shows you heard of like Shrill or High Fidelity or fucking Adam Ruins Everything. Where is this person not? Okay, they're everywhere. Mm. We are thrilled to be joined by the amazingly hilarious and brilliant Solomon Giorgio.
I'm happy to be here. And I'm also here for the pursuit of slappiness. I'm very.
Oh, no. The pursuit of. I'm in the pursuit of slappiness that
ooh,
I know.
7 pounds to the face.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason why his mom sent him to Bel Air. But he didn't learn.
Right? Exactly. One little fight. Yeah, obviously, we're gonna have to talk about, we're compelled to by the culture to speak at length about what happened between Will Smith and Chris Rock at the Oscars. But first, let's give everybody just a little sneak peek into what else we're talking about. Trump had a rally in Georgia, which was a bit of a sad, wet fart filled with just all kinds of ignorance, but that you would come to expect at a MAGA rally. So we'll give you some low lights from that. We'll talk about some GOP governors who are kind of doing the right thing when it comes to these anti-trans bills that are proliferating across the country. And we'll tell you why it's kind of, because it's not that their hearts are totally in the right place. It's just, you know, broken clock, just right twice a day and all that. And obviously, the slap discourse will have to carry on this show when we will just kind of, I guess, look back at what was a very eventful Oscars. And, you know, an Oscars that kind of overshadowed a lot of things, good things that happened for people. But the slap is obviously the biggest thing on people's minds. Like I said, it's not often that you get, like, commentary from, like, right-wing politicians, doctors, Judd Apatow, Whoopi Goldberg, the NBA. Like, everybody had something to say. And so much of it was not correct. But we'll get to all of that. But Solomon, how you doing, man? What's going on with you?
Yeah, I've been very good. Just working mostly. I'm writing on a new show that'll be out in the near future, and I have a podcast coming out as well. So I'll be joining your guys'
joining area. The podcast world.
Yeah, you know, I figure, you know, 2020, that's the right time to dip into the podcasting world. There's not enough of them. I think there's just
right. Well, there's not enough good ones. So I would say, based on your talents alone,
there's not enough black ones.
That is very true. I'm happy to do it, but yeah.
And just quick question: were you watching live on Sunday night?
I was not watching live. I was. I watched the Beyonce performance, which is all I wanted to watch. And then, being a homosexual man with a telephone, I received 9 million texts about the situation from black people, from gay, like everything came at me.
Yeah, no, same. Oh, God, it was more than like a fucking, like, remember when people in Hawaii got that, like, intercontinental ballistic missile will hit the island, take shelter, and it was like, that was the level of alerts I was getting on my phone. It's not been like that, like, not even during the election, like, of 2020, no. But I get it. But so before we, you know, fully get into all the stories, we got to let people know a little bit more about you, Solomon. So first, we'd like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
It's the most recent thing that I've searched is Roald Dahl books. That's the person I've been. I got rid of all my books, and that's all I've been doing is trying to rebuy stuff. And I'm also like, but also I'm doing it in the vain way where I'm like, what books would look good to people when they walk by it?
Right.
Do I have to read it? No, but I want to make sure people think I'm smart enough to read it.
On the plane, I do that with music. I'm listening to some fire shit. I like, I make sure the phone is like right on the edge of the table. So when people walk past, it's like, my man got some good ass taste in music. Yeah.
Just that. Holding it up like this.
Just holding it up like, stretching and yawning with my phone just like toward everybody so they can see the song that I'm playing. Just
real easy. You're like, you're stretching and yawning, but you turn up the brightness on your screen. You're like,
the brightness up so y'all can see that. Okay.
Of course. You got it. So I get that. I feel that, Solomon. I feel that 100%.
You got rid of your book? What do you mean you got rid of your book? Like, well, were you
like,
moving?
I just like, never like restocked. Like, I've never had like a, like, I probably have like 20 books on me now, but like I used to have a whole, like before I moved to LA, I had like books. I had a shelf, like shelves of them. And now I'm like, all right, I need to get into the place where I have a bookshelf to show off.
How do you feel like in the Kindle era? Cause like books used to be like in college, my way to be like, yeah, I read that shit. And you could tell by the way the spine is creased. I did that before you came here. So it looked like I read this shit. Yes. Like, and now like with Kindles and stuff, I love the convenience of it, but I do sort of miss the physical, the tangible aspect.
I don't actually read it when I buy it on Kindle. That's the thing. It's like, I get on Kindle, I'm like, all right, it's there. Like, it's just like, I need to have the paper to like flip and get my, like, it's like, there's like a goal to finishing it that way. Like, you don't know, like if you're in the middle of a book and you see that little fold, you're like, I can finish that. You don't get that from a Kindle. It doesn't tell you you're halfway through and you're just like,
that's true.
I'm like, do I need
you
to
gotta like scroll you to like the bottom and be like, all right, I got another 50 pages. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Right. This one's like, you're 40% of the way through. I'm like, I don't even know what 40% is if I'm not looking at the full thickness of the book. Yeah, but
I need to see it.
Right.
It's like, I just like holding books. I like having them around. I like just the physicality of it. I like that I know that I'm killing something, like a tree, maybe.
Right. But, absolutely.
I don't know. I'm definitely like, I'm not getting like new books. I'm getting like old books. So it definitely looks like I read them, even though it was hundreds of other people that did it before me.
What's another book? So you got Roald Dahl.
I got the whole collection, the whole Roald Dahl connection. I also, because I just saw the movie, I got all the Dune books again because I read them when I was younger.
Gotcha.
All I'm doing is buying books that I've already read. So I'm really, gotcha. I've only
so you're
got
just
like
rebuying
a
your collection
that I haven't read. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the shit that I remember reading going like, I like that. I want this to be in my possession.
That's good.
Right. And then if someone sees it, they don't have to pull your card if they ask you about it. You know about it because you're like, no, I read. Oh, yeah, I definitely. Yes. Let's go. Oh, yeah. You want to talk about Shia LaBeouf?
I'm also very good at lying about reading or watching something that I have not read or watched.
Right.
Movies, music. I've always been like, yeah, I saw that. I don't want to be the person who didn't see that and get that, like, I can't believe you've not seen that. I'm like, I don't have time for that conversation.
Right. Yeah. They're like, you haven't, of all the people that I thought would have seen it, it would have been you.
You.
Yeah.
You're like, well, sometimes that shit happens, all right?
And I saw it, so you don't have to worry, because of course I saw that shit.
My go-to is always, oh, yeah, I saw that, but it's been a minute. So that way don't nobody make me talk about it. Like, oh, I don't remember it that much. I saw it. When it came out, I saw it.
I say I watched it, but I was stoned. So
yeah,
I don't really
remember.
That's
always easy. And also true. There's like shit. Like people remind me, like you did see that. I'm like, really?
You were at your niece's birthday party, was I?
Right.
Really? I don't remember that at all. Actually,
Solomon, what's something you think is overrated?
Something that's actually been getting on my nerves lately is that complaining about Gen Z. That's something that I think is overrated. I wish people, like, especially my, like, because as a millennial, I think we all became boomers very quickly when Gen Z started attacking our style. I'm like, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Why do you care if a child is telling you to stop wearing skinny jeans?
Right. They're like, because I wore the skinny jeans because someone else bullied me into wearing them. And it was just to avoid the bullying.
Yeah.
Just and now it's like, I feel like it's just like it's becoming like, especially since I spend so much time on Twitter, like it's like literally all my friends getting mad at younger people. I'm like, what are you doing?
For what?
When did we become like this?
Here's the thing. The reason I hate it so much is because, and I've been saying this for a minute, every generation I feel like is going to eventually become exactly what we're becoming right now. Mm-hmm. Because like we're just wired as dumbass human beings to be dumbass human beings sometimes.
Right.
You know, like, and like, who cares? Like, shit gets old and stuff new comes in and like, just embrace it. But everybody was saying, man, I can't believe all these younger people or these older people saying this about us. And I'm like, all right, wait till we get older. Like, you can right.
But also, what obligation do we have to a young, like, a younger generation is meant to critique the generation before
exactly.
them. Like, but like, I can wear whatever I want till the day I die. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about it, especially right. if somebody's younger than me. Yet somebody's younger than me, that makes sense because they're creating a new style. They can do, right. They're trying to make their own mark in their own generation, and that's what they should be doing anyway. Right. I don't have to do what they're wearing. I don't have to wear anything they wear. Right. Not a single thing.
People, they fear the vibe shift.
The only thing that I don't like is they don't have to struggle and stand in line for Jordans like we used to back in the day. It's not fair.
Yeah, now they can't even get
them. It's not fair. Now we all can't get them. Now we all can't get them.
Just by the
to be fair, their first memory is 9/11. So maybe.
Right. Bit of a.
That's the first thing they remember. So I'm like, you know what? Y'all are good.
Yeah.
I remember joy in this world. You guys miss out on that.
I fucking love it because some of the shit talking is so on point. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I couldn't have even burned my own generation from inside the house like you just did. And that's the shit I love. And like, I'm more of like let these kids just fucking flame us. I don't give a fuck. I think the problem is too, for our generation, like us making fun of Gen Xers is a little bit different because like, I think millennials feel some sort of ownership over like the internet and like internet culture. And the fact that like what we started now is giving way to younger people also having fun on the internet and using that against us. And we're like, but hold on, this used to be our shit. It's like, yeah, but guess what? Time goes on. And like you're saying, Solomon, shit evolves.
Yep. But I think that's like for them, it's like that's their comedy is they're all very good at comedy too. Like the amount of it's a bigger generation of comedians. So I'm like, how am I gonna I'm gonna let this flourish. I love if you insult me and it's funny,
yeah.
That's you deserve every right to it.
Right. Especially like with a good observation, not just some like hateful, empty rhetorical shit. You're like, that was a cutting observation.
And you were paying attention. Damn.
And like, wow, you fucking get the assignment.
There's this tweet. Everybody knows Lacey, I'm sure. I don't know if you know Lacey Solomon.
Lacey Mosley. Yes, I've heard of her.
But she was doing a live show and the tickets were $10. And this person tweeted her, damn. It got to be super humbling to be on billboards and still have $10 shows. And we was like, oh, God damn, girl. Like, you can't even get mad at that. That observation is just on point and correct. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't even think of it at all. Like, when I read that post, I was like, oh, my God, I do just leave. Like, I write for television during the day.
Yeah.
And then I just go to a fucking bar show for a drink ticket. When they said $10, I was like, damn.
Yeah,
that would be a step up for some of the shows I do during the week.
Oh my God.
It was like, oh, you ain't had to tell the truth like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just drive off the studio lot to a bar. Yeah, I get it. I'm stupid as hell.
Right, right. They're like, you valet your car right outside of a fucking La Poubelle, like back in the day. You're like, in that show? Just to hang out in the back entrance that smells like a bunch of spilled over beer kegs.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Man. For a good chance of bombing, which is even better.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
Exactly. And maybe you'll see John Hamm walk by because Lord knows this man just loves to be around a comedy theater. So it all balances out, you know. Solomon, what is something you think is underrated?
I'm trying to think of what's going on right now. Something I think is underrated, and I think a lot of people are getting mad about it, is not liking things. I'm a very big fan of not liking things and saying I don't like it, and especially movies and culture. And I think a lot of people, since I spend so much time on social media, a lot of people are like, don't tell people you don't like something. Somebody out there likes it. I'm like, it's just a movie. You just say you don't like it. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. Talking shit is important to our survival. Right. And criticizing stuff that we watch and listen to. Like, if you had to experience it and you put the money out to experience it, I want to hear that you don't like it. I want you to tell me.
Let us know. Right. Exactly. I mean, I think it's one thing to say, I wasn't really feeling it. It was one thing. And I think a lot of people take that as to being like, and if you like it, you are fucked up and stupid, and I don't know what went wrong, when or where, but that's the end of my take. It's rather than be like, nah, I don't like this thing. Yeah, everybody, like whatever the fuck you want. Me, personally, I didn't like it. That's all.
Yeah. But also, that's, I enjoy that, too. Like, it's one thing to say you don't like something that you didn't experience. Be like, it's going to be stupid. Don't watch it. I'm like, well, that's just unfair. But if you took the time out of your day to sit through a 3-hour movie, which is all of them now, I want you to say you don't like it and why.
Yeah.
Because that's a 3-hour movie that I have to go and experience my damn self, too.
Right. Yeah.
I think especially when you're consuming something, I think it's fair to give your opinion on what you consumed, right? Mm-hmm. I think where people don't know where the line, not where people don't know where the line is, where people get confused, kind of what you were saying, Miles, is, you know, we also have a culture of, what's it called? Yucking people's yum type thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you like this, oh, you're lame type stuff. There's also a culture which is very annoying, in my opinion. Like, if somebody wants to go to Disney, like, who gives a fuck, right? It's kind of more of that. Like, who gives a fuck what you like, but also who gives a fuck what you don't like? Yeah. Just don't get mad at me for not liking it, and don't get mad at me for liking it. I think that's where, like, people forget where the line is, is we can have our opinions.
It's consumerism. In the day, it's consumerism. It's capitalism. People are allowed, people are shelling money out for an experience. And as a customer, you're allowed to make a complaint after you've experienced something.
Yeah.
You're allowed to love something, you're allowed to hate something.
Right. And as long as you're not going into, like, just hate, and you're just, like, you're just sort of using something as, like, a lightning rod to project some other shit, which is clear when you're like, man, that wasn't even an assessment or an analysis of what they saw. Like, this person just decided to say, like, I don't like anything to do with people having face paint on. It's all stupid. And you're like, what the fuck is this about? It has nothing to
do with it. But if it's like, hey, there were so many plot holes, I thought I would fall through them, then yeah, I want to know that shit too.
That's
right.
Fair.
You're like, the score, snooze fest. Me, I'm a big
snob. Who was the last movie you hated?
Yeah.
I'm actually a terrible person about this because I actually like everything I watch.
Hey, I don't like stuff. No, but other people don't like things. I want to be able to say I don't like it.
Yeah, I want to live in a world where I can say I don't like stuff. That's just my vision.
For me, like, personally, like, if I take the time to watch anything, I do, like, my thorough research of, like, what would this would this be? And I'm like, and very often, like, because people sometimes, like, they have that wavery part of them. They're like, I'll watch this because other people told me to. I'm not like that at all. I watch nothing I don't want to watch fully the beginning.
Right.
So what we're really saying here is everybody else keep telling us what's crap so we can do our research and don't watch that crap.
Exactly.
That's kind of how it works. I need that three, a few people whose opinions I respect to be like, nah, shit was trash. And then I'll be like, okay, they spoke. Let me do a couple more levels deeper. If the consensus still seems to be like that, then I'm like, all right, I won't waste my time. But I'm willing to be pleasantly surprised if I come across it, like, down the road, which has happened certainly, where I was like, damn, a bunch of people told me that shit was not good. And then I actually ended up liking it. Like, there are moments like that. But also, yes, it does help to also just trust the opinions, because I myself do not like to, like, I will only watch things that I feel like have a high chance of me enjoying it.
Yeah. Because they're 9 hours long now, so you gotta.
I know.
When you're committing to a film now, you're not. You're giving away a quarter of your day,
right?
And that's
math.
I don't take that lightly.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. That's your time. Your time is worth everything.
Right. Exactly. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about some news. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and
Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. So Trump, Donald Trump, he's got a huge gamble going in Georgia right now as it relates to the governor's race. He's currently backing former senator and spooky Confederate ghost David Perdue in the primary against the incumbent Brian Kemp. And we know this because Trump's whole thing is about taking out revenge on people who don't kiss the ring. And for him, he's because Kemp wouldn't rat fuck the 2020 election, he's like, okay, then I'm gonna primary you, and because I'm King MAGA, whatever I say, the voters will follow. And you know, this is actually a good situation for Stacey Abrams, who's also running in the state, because any Republican infighting will probably just serve to depress turnout on some level, whether or not, like, if the MAGA people stay at home because Kemp, they still have feelings towards Kemp, or vice versa. So that's all kind of humming in the background, but. Since Perdue is trailing by about 10 points right now in the polls, it makes sense Trump had to dust off his MAGA hat and hit a rally in Georgia to try and prop up, you know, this candidate. Because as we saw earlier in the week, last week, he rescinded his endorsement of Mo Brooks for being woke, which is one of the best jokes I've heard in this decade. So he thought, you know what, maybe I'll go to Georgia, get the people together, scream my usual bigoted bullshit, and maybe that'll energize the voters. Well, first, just want to say, based on the turnout, it seems that the people might not really be feeling the vibrations at the moment. I think you can, if you're in the dock, you can see this picture. The first picture was taken over the weekend. They say it was around 5,000, and you juxtapose that with like a year earlier when they had like 20,000 people show up. This was like, and he wasn't, this was just, I think, maybe fresh off of the stop the steal energy, but it's clear that that energy is not really sustaining itself to begin with.
Yeah. I think it is, look, man, we all do comedy, so we all are very used to going back to the well, you know, that's kind of what we do. And so I get going back to the well, but bro, like, I'm 35 years old and I get tired. This nigga not tired yet. Like, what is, right. Just come on, dude. You still holding
that
rallies.
Old man grudge. Yeah.
people are getting, you can tell the excitement behind it. I've never seen somebody hold on so long to, especially politically, right? Like, Al Gore even stopped talking about Inconvenient Truth after a couple years. This nigga is still...
He's like, man, fuck it, y'all gonna die in the climate war.
Like, he's still doing these rallies. And I'm like, bro, what is you talking about? And it's crazy. And you're right. Like, I think sometimes, too, because it's all self-indulgent. And what I don't know if they get or not, it seems like they don't, is eventually you're going to start costing yourself. And what you said about the Stacey Abrams thing is correct. Like, the excitement, you can hold on to this shit, but you're going to start costing yourself. And I think that's where they're heading. But they're so egotistical. He sees those 5,000, 10,000 people, and it feeds his ego so much that they don't realize, like, I want Trump to run again. I know people are like, oh, I want Trump to run again. Because if he do, all the motherfuckers who, all us tired ass liberals and leftists who don't, who are tired of Biden, gonna be like, well, I wasn't gonna come out, but this nigga not getting back in. We gonna come back out in record numbers. Like, it's stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to know what's gonna happen, right? Because on one hand, if Purdue triumphs over Brian Kemp and gets the nomination in the primary, that does say something about the Trump brand again. You know, that it's like, oh, no, they're still listening. And this is a big test, right? Because he's saying, I'm putting all my chips behind Purdue. He's 10 points behind. And if he doesn't succeed, then I'm basically taking a direct L to the face by being like, your revenge plot failed. And that definitely opens up a huge opportunity for whatever this post-Trump GOP is, because they're going to say, oh, shit, they're not into it as much.
But I think he's definitely taking the L, though. I feel like he should have gotten for a smaller governor race than this one. Cause like, stepping your foot into this one, like, the better idea would have been to be like, I guess I should side with Kemp this time. But also, like, another thing that fails with him is that he's reactionary. He needs something to react to. And there's no one, and he's not getting the news feed that he's getting. So, like, when he's out there, all he has is the same tired thing he has to do over and over again, and they don't give a shit about that, especially his base. Yeah. So that's one benefit of not having him on the news every single day, is that he has nothing to react to.
Right. And he's like barely watching the news because he's not in it. So he's just like, it hasn't, I don't think shit's progressed much past January 7th, 2020 or 2021.
Yeah.
And he's like,
it's the same tired talking point. And they don't, people lose interest. He has to have something else, and nothing else includes him. So he doesn't pay attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, with people like DeSantis and stuff, people are responding just to straight up out their bigotry. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what's, you're starting to see these differences. And, you know, like, especially when it came to the sort of conflict between DeSantis and Trump over like vaccines and things, where Trump was like, no, the vaccine's cool. Like, it works. You don't have to get it if you don't want it. But I made that shit, because he's trying to get the fucking credit for it. Meanwhile, people like DeSantis are like, yo, this guy's really talking about vaccines and shit, like some Fauci. And you're starting to see those little schisms happen. But yes, I just wanted to touch on some of the speakers at this event, because we had Majorly Tainted Gangrene, or Marjorie Taylor Greene was there. And everybody had just the most tired. Everybody was a snooze fest. Like, they couldn't even do bigotry in a way that was like energizing anymore. Like, first, David Perdue, he like wasted his whole time just talking about 2020. And he's like, and I'm still fighting to get to the bottom of what happened 2 years ago.
Oh, for what?
Okay, sure. What? And he's like, and I'm the only person that can beat Stacey Abrams. I was like, fam, Brian Kemp beat Stacey Abrams last time they were in election. So that talking point doesn't even hold up. So then you get to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She decided to put QAnon, homophobia, and climate denial in a fucking blender and came up with this really interesting soundbite.
And you know what? Pete Buttigieg can take his electric vehicles and his bicycles, and he and his husband can stay out of our girls' bathrooms. Yep.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. You see, like, I'm not joking. Put QAnon, we're putting the QAnon predator, like, Save the Children shit in there. A hint of electric cars are... gay?
Yeah.
Look,
That fucking little gremlin.
He can take his electric cars and his gas is $6. Tell him to don't take them electric cars. Give them to, like, they're just so stupid. Bicycles are lovely. They're lovely. They're
like,
nice.
That's, like, if you're talking about change, like, that's one of the oldest inventions we have right now. Like, that's not even, it's a bicycle.
It's a bike.
That came first.
It's one of the first things we learned to do when we were children is ride a bike.
Does she not know how to, is that, maybe that's her, that's probably why she's so mad. She never learned how to ride. This is.
Oh, yeah. Maybe daddy wasn't there. The parents weren't there to teach you how to ride a bike. And now you're getting all mad because Pete Buttigieg is saying to fight climate change, maybe we try some like carbon neutral forms of transportation.
And then the transphobia is just, it's so tired.
But that's
it's
the
so
thing, right?
Tired.
That's, they just have to like evoke the topics.
Soundbites.
Yeah. To just say like, hey, remember we're against, let me say electric vehicle, because then, you know, then we're all pro drill baby drill type bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then talk about the kids, and then you talk about the bathrooms going into a women's bathroom. Like, it makes no sense, like, when you actually analyze the text of it. But when you're
with
just putting vibes out there, that's
like
me going to a Wu-Tang show and being like, yo, we got blunts, Timberlands, fucking ODB hologram. Yeah. See, just topics that I know people are going to fuck with, but not, I'm not really saying anything. And that's kind of what these things have devolved into.
Insane. Yeah. It makes me miss old school, like, blatant bigotry. Like, at least it's straightforward. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to just say the N word, but instead you're trying to, they build this weird dog whistle argument that gets more and more confusing. And you're just like, you should just took a whole shortcut and said the word you want to say that's in your head.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They're like, this thing's all more twisted up than someone's 5C curls.
Like, what?
You know about black hair? You invested enough in about black hair care
to make one point.
Right.
Let me tell you too about these bathrooms, man. Let me tell you about these bathrooms. They arguing the wrong shit. It's not keep people out of the bathrooms. It's add more bathrooms. We need more bathrooms. Now that we all sharing bathrooms, as we rightfully should, the lines are long as hell. Yeah. We need to add more bathrooms so we can all share every bathroom. And the two bathrooms ain't enough no more. We need five bathrooms per building.
And the lines. And the lines.
And the lines.
At the end of the day, we all know the bathrooms at the city we can take a shit in. So that's the life that we shouldn't live anymore. There should be access to bathrooms everywhere. There should be two per block, as far as I'm concerned, for everyone.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Two per block.
Could you imagine a campaign? And like, if you're a politician, you'd be like, and you know, with my infrastructure plan, I'm trying to make every public restroom one you feel comfortable shitting in.
Hell yeah.
How about that? I want it so people won't be afraid to put their asses on the seats because they know they are being properly cleaned and maintained. That is all I'm running on. Do I know anything about any geopolitics? No.
No. But the Grove shouldn't have the best bathroom in LA. Everywhere should be a Grove bathroom.
There should be like an invest in self-cleaning toilet, like a self-cleaning bathroom. Like, it gets hosed down between every use.
Wait, Jakees, you better watch out. We're talking about the Grove bathroom because Rick Caruso is running for mayor, and he's gonna be like, think about how pristine the bathrooms are in my shopping facilities. I will bring that plan to the entire city while also doing regular sweeps of the unhoused and brutalizing them to make way for my parking lots.
You just made the choice more difficult.
Like, Rick Caruso running on every bathroom is a Grove bathroom ticket.
God damn.
Also, just to check back in with the Trump thing. Herschel Walker, right? We have to talk about Herschel Walker because this man, former football player, has no business running for office aside from the Trump's racist ass being like, well, if I want to take a black senator down in an election, I should put in a black man to also run against him because that's how my Mandingo fight loving brain works. And that's what I'm trying to do. So Herschel Walker, who many are like, he wasn't even living in Georgia, like when he was announcing his candidacy. He also spoke at this rally, and I'm not joking. It was like, I felt bad for him because it looked like someone doing a shitty improv scene where he was having to pretend to be a GOP candidate for the Senate because nothing was coming out right. And this is poor Herschel Walker.
For this country. People want to ask me all the time why I'm running. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of them want to teach CTR in school, critical race theory. Can you tell me what that means? We're Americans. We're not black. We're not white. We're American.
I'm tired of this old, this critical race theory.
This CRT.
In the school. When come I come on. Back from the shitty.
Bro, CTR, you need to be worried about that CTE, Herschel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get that is, shit together. But, like,
that is.
I'm sick and tired.
When you sound like the racist that Dave Chappelle played.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Clayton Bigsby. Right.
And there bro, you go. Can't that even was... form a sentence. Like, you can't even form, like, a sentence, bro. Well, you can't I mean, even
that's
speak.
The problem, right? You have someone up there who's not passionate about what the fuck they're talking about. So you can't then be like, well, then we're going to rely on their secondary improvisational skills to sound like a black person who's bothered by critical race theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why he just came out with, like, the... Y'all wanna know what I'm tired of this fuck, what the fuck was it? It was really bad.
We're not black, we're not white, we're Americans.
Americans
like, meanwhile, all the, you know, Asian Americans and all the every
no,
other.
No, it's a binary. That's it. Not in Georgia. For this race specifically, just need to black. Think about it of it's what is white. Black and what is white. Yeah. And it's just CTR is not it.
Well, they all needed cue cards, but they just said no because none of them can read, and that's the real issue that we have here. Especially, yeah. Like, it's like, fuck. Like, every time a black person compromises their blackness to get white approval, you're like, it's always a shit show. It never is.
Yeah,
it
never, a shit show. Never looks good.
Never does. Just, it never does.
It ends up a bit wonky.
And you could have avoided it, too. It's a very avoidable situation. Like, you know what? I'm just going to keep being black and not do this.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, do I need to just say some shit that would completely betray all the struggle of everybody that came before me? I'll just leave that behind. Okay, wait, my ego? Well, now hold on. When it comes to my ego, it's, man, fuck them ancestors.
It might be the money more than the ego.
Yeah, right. And then even then, I'm like, what are they paying you?
Not much. That's the sad part. Not much.
Speaking of governors, I just want to kind of bring some attention to two Republican governors in Indiana and Utah, because these just ridiculous transphobic protecting women's the integrity of women's athletics bills are popping up all over, solving an issue that is not real, but again, is just justification for further discrimination against trans people and youth specifically. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, he vetoed a bill last week that would have banned trans kids from playing on sports teams according to their own gender identity. But he kind of, again, he 50-50'd this one. Okay, like, yes, he vetoed the fucked up bill, and you're like, oh, good, he vetoed the bill. And he's like, but let me explain. The reason is because this bill is so fucked up in its wording that it just opens up all these school districts to lawsuits, because it's like Texas, where they're just sort of deputizing concerned parents to be like, well, if they fuck up, you can bring a lawsuit against the school district. And as governor, he's like, that could potentially just bankrupt the fuck out of all these school districts, and we'll basically have no public education at all. So I don't want to have these school districts wasting resources fighting these lawsuits. Just word the bill differently. It's kind of like, yeah. But he did, however, acknowledge that the bill wasn't really addressing a problem in the state, because there weren't any trans kids competing in high school sports, like, in the state. So he was sort of just like, this doesn't even, like, address anything that's happening, and it could be a bankruptcy thing. So look, y'all just override my veto, like I know you're gonna do, because you control the legislature, and then come back. So this really isn't over. And in fact, a lot of people are speculating that it'll come back. They may override the veto in May. Meanwhile, in Utah, I just want to say Governor Spencer Cox also vetoed a similar bill and was also concerned in the same way. He's like, this could open up districts or certain athletic bodies to be completely just inundated with lawsuits, and then therefore drain all the money out when, like, these are schools and, like, associations that are providing the infrastructure for kids to play sports. But he actually, like, articulated a human cost to these kinds of bills. And that's the credit I will give Governor Cox of Utah. And I will, and, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because he does still say, like, I believe that we have to protect women's sports already. That's an L. But he goes on to say, quote, I must admit, I'm not an expert. I struggle to understand so much of it, and the science is conflicting. When in doubt, however, I always try to err on the side of kindness, mercy, and compassion. I also try to get proximate, and I am learning so much from our transgender community. They are great kids who face enormous struggles. Here are the numbers that have most impacted my decision. This is from his letter explaining the veto of the bill. 75,000, 4, 1, 86, and 56. 75,000, the number of high school kids participating in high school sports in Utah. 4, the number of transgender kids playing high school sports in Utah. 1, the one transgender student playing girls' sports. 86%. That's the number of trans youth reporting on suicidality. 56% of trans youth having attempted it. Now, he said, quote, 4 kids and only one of them is playing girls' sports. That's what all of this is about. 4 kids who aren't dominating or winning trophies or taking scholarships. 4 kids who are just trying to find some friends and feel like they are part of something. 4 kids trying to get through each day. Rarely has so much fear and anger been directed at so few. Now, you know, he's also looking at a state legislature that can override the veto and probably, you know, he's potentially welcoming a primary from the right because of this. But, you know, I'll say I couldn't believe that we saw a Republican governor even bother to articulate or not just go down the full dehumanization route when it comes to these bills, because that's the trend we've been seeing.
Yeah, it's really sad when somebody not hating other people is an applause worthy thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird thing, right? And it's a very weird thing because I'll find myself doing that too, and not on this issue, but other issues too, where you, especially from the Republican side, unfortunately, but you know, white people too, like anybody who is in a place of majority or they're not a part of a marginalized group.
Yeah.
And when they give the human response, you're like, huh, that's a good thing. No, it's not a fucking good thing. It's not a good thing. It's a human, it's exactly what it should be, right? And so, you know, it's a really sad thing when you talk about these and, you know, all those numbers you gave out. We're talking about, you know, the 4 kids, essentially, right? So much anger directed at so few. And, you know, it's a very sad thing that because, you know, it's already an isolating situation. And now then when you talk about there's 4, you know, those 4 people know who they are. You know what I'm saying, right? And the fact that they have to now say, man, so it feels good to know that one person out of this large group of people doesn't hate us. It's very sad. It's a very sad thing. Yeah.
Sucks to be that empathy is a surprise. Empathy should be the basic thing you can do, especially for children. And over school sports too. Of all things to be like, why are you paying attention to school sports? You fool ass grown adult. It is such an unnecessary need to discuss something that is truly happening at the tiniest scale. And also more importantly, it's an insult, especially because it's always focused on girl sports. It's an insult to women to assume that they are genetically weaker than men and that anyone who transitions genders is inherently going to be much better because they're not a genetic biological woman. It's like that's, women are strong, powerful athletes that don't get the respect they deserve already.
Yeah.
And anyone who joins the flanks, regardless of what their biological status in the beginning, that's not a challenge to women in sports and girls in sports. That's still equal footing, and it's unfair to think otherwise.
Yeah,
and it's funny too because it's usually people who one have never played sports or two sucked at everything they ever fucking did growing up who don't realize that that's a dumb argument. I play in a co-ed baseball league right now. We all suck. We all suck. All of us. Everybody got a noodle arm from second. Girl, boy, it doesn't matter. Everybody's striking out. Okay, nobody throw over 45 miles an hour. Like, we all suck, right?
Right.
And then I grow up, and I remember growing up, you know, I grew up in Chicago. Let me tell you, man, I tell you who kicked my ass the most, Candace Parker. She kicked our ass up. Like, she's the best basketball player I've ever played against in my fucking life. Like on a court, Candace Parker. Like,
and wait, you actually hooped with Candace Parker?
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Pick up basketball. Like, kicked
our asses.
Yeah, you
would have got fucking destroyed.
We got destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed. Right. Destroyed, yeah. Man. And it's just like, and so, like, with people who actually, like, love sports and know sports and things like that, know that that's such a whack argument of, well, men are just genetically better than women, right? Because it's not true. It's not fucking true at all.
Oh, that's all it is? That's all that is. There's no skill or determinant. Yeah. None of that.
It's fully dismissive of, like, literally all of women in sport. Like, that is hands down, like, some of the, like, greatest athletes of all time. You can tell me Serena Williams can't just beat any man? She can.
Yeah. Yes, she can. Yeah. When we were playing, when I played against Candace Parker, were there a couple dudes who were stronger than her? Yeah, probably. You know what she did? She took their ass out to the perimeter and schooled their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
She was like, all right, you stronger than me. Fine. People in the NBA, Allen Iverson wasn't backing down Shaq.
Right.
You know, exactly. Like, it's like they just don't, you don't get that. Like, you don't, because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. It's just based in bigotry.
Like racism. Like, that's also like they even if a woman is a great athlete, she's immediately dismissed as being more manly immediately. Like, it's
that,
such
that's a
need
masculine trait.
to insult women as athletes in every possible way that they're like, and it's unnecessary. Trans women are like, they're not going to be inherently better at sports than everybody else. They will be as good as any other athlete in that skills field.
And I think it speaks to the fragility of the conservatives in this country at the moment, because they're grasping at anything to feel that their worldview is somehow dominant or more pervasive than people who are interested in progress. So this is how you claw back, is to say, well, you know what? In these states where we have this state control, we can now, let's push the weakest groups around. Because then we'll feel better as long as we can decide. Because some of these other groups that, you know, that ship set sail and there's nothing we can do about it. The change has come. But if we can claw back some basic rights for others, maybe that will help us feel better. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back because Will Smith and Chris Rock, obviously.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. So, Sunday were the Oscars. I wasn't paying attention. I kind of had it on, and then I paused it, and my Apple TV did that thing where it just shuts off because they're like, you're not fucking watching this shit. Power save mode. And then I got a text from my mother in the middle, like, out of nowhere, being like, what did Chris Rock say? And I said, what? She said, what did Chris Rock say? I'm like, is this like something, what did the Fox say type? I was so confused. I said, explain, what are you asking? She's like, Will Smith just hit Chris Rock, but you can't hear anything that happened on the Oscars. And I said, what the fuck? So immediately all these other text messages pop up. Did you see that shit? What about this? What about that? Here's this video. And what we saw was, again, I'm sure at this point everybody knows, but Will Smith went on stage after Chris Rock made a joke about Jada Pinkett's hair and, you know, hit him with five across the eye real quick just to tighten him up. You know, the short explanation is that obviously people were looking. They said, why would Will Smith do this? Many people explained that Jada, you know, in the past has shared that she has alopecia and that her hair makes her hair fall out easier. And especially women of color tend to be affected by alopecia in much larger numbers than most groups. And, you know, so her hair, that's why she's keeping her hair short. Chris Rock made a fucking dumb ass joke being like, I can't wait to see you in G.I. Jane 2. What the fuck year is this? While he was giving the best documentary award, shout out to Questlove for winning that one for Summer of Soul. And, you know, we saw this exchange where he made the joke. Will kind of is laughing. Jada is clearly not pleased with it. Will goes on stage, smacks him, then goes back and saying, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. And then the show went on.
Yeah.
And then he won an Academy Award and then apologized. I don't know where to pick up. I just want to open the floor because I think for many people, we saw this and we're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you saw many people clutching their pearls like they couldn't believe what they had seen. And calling for Will Smith's Academy Award to be taken away. While many people have pointed out, they're like, what about Roman Polanski? What about Woody Allen? You want to handle those first? And then you want to talk about Will Smith? Until then, why don't you shut the fuck up? But yes, thoughts. What was everybody feeling? The bad jokes, the way to handle it. Was that the only way to handle it? Because there are some people on Twitter who like, yep, I would have done. You know, you had like big husband energy gang on Twitter being like, yeah, that's exactly what you got to fucking do. Then you have people being like, I like comedians being slapped for bad jokes. You got it all from this.
A lot of takes.
I think it's complex. I think that's the way it is. It's always going to be complex. Neither of us are the people that are in the situation. And I think right now it's like, do I think you should just slap somebody for a bad joke? No. Do I think, I definitely think he was allotted a reaction. Because that's end of the day, if I'm saying something about someone specifically when they're right in front of me, I open
about
them
their appearance.
I open it this like as I've been doing stand up for 15 years, every time I've made a comment about somebody on stage, that I know that I'm allowing them the opportunity to say something back to me.
Right.
And that's just kinda how that's it's like, especially with roast jokes, you kinda have to have an agreement with people. Like whenever and yeah, sometimes people are like, yeah, this is where I'm at. This is the situation that I'm in. And it's fine to tell that kind of a joke. But also, we don't know what her day was like. We don't know what happened to her before that. Like that. So this whole situation is always going to be like, should he have reacted that way? I would say no. But should like there be legal repercussions? Should he get the Academy revoked of him? And it's like, also no. That's you're finding your way to, a lot of people like finding a way to apply their racism to this situation.
Right.
And it's kind of, that's the frustrating part of it. And I think for me, it's like, this is actually between Chris Rock and Will Smith now. It's whatever repercussions I need to have in the situation, that's Chris Rock's business.
Right. And he's already said, I'm not pressing charges.
Yeah.
We're not doing that, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course he's not pressing. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, I'll say this and then I'll go back to just the moment. Of course, Chris Rock ain't pressing charges. You know, Chris Rock is a black man.
Right.
Who, look, I mean, I don't know if we've all been in fights or where we all grew up. I grew up in the hood. Like, Chris Rock ain't pressing fucking charges. That's a very white response. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very white suburban response. You should press charge. But getting slapped.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, oh, that's right, because the police do shit for you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, we're not.
You're not looking at the police completely differently.
People fight, all right? You know?
Yeah.
Now, to the moment. I was at an Oscar party. Shout out to Demi Adejuyibe. I was at his party, and I was very high. And when it happened, I thought that it was fake because I watched it live.
Right.
So, you know, like I thought it was staged because the way the camera went, like, and we all did. Everybody at that party thought it was staged. We thought it was just a moment, you know, like a fun moment because Regina Hall had that moment with all the actors who came up on stage earlier and Will Smith didn't come up. I don't know if you guys know about that, but it was a moment. They made a joke about it. So I thought, like, oh, Will actually coming on stage now, like, because he got called up on stage earlier in the show. So we all thought it was fake. And then the sound cut off.
Yeah.
And then you could read Will's lips. Yeah. Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And we all just started like, what the fuck? Was that real? Yeah. And it blew my high. Like I became sober after that, right?
Right.
You know. And then that's all we could talk about. And it was a mood changer. I'm not going to say it wasn't a mood changer. It was a fucking mood changer.
Cultural reset.
You were watching it live. Yeah, right. It was a mood change. It was a mood changer at the party I was at. You could tell it was a mood changer. And then when we heard the uncensored version, and you could hear that, you could hear his voice. Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. I don't know if your listening audience knows how big the Dolby Theater is, but I guarantee you the last person in the last row heard that nigga.
When
he said that, right? Like that.
It was,
that,
it was
and
quiet.
That is, yeah, it was dead quiet. You could hear it in his voice. And then hearing Chris Rock, it was just, it's a crazy fucking moment. And here's what I'll say to all of it. Was it a tasteless joke? Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially if Chris Rock knew. If he doesn't know, I also doubt that Chris Rock wrote that joke. So somebody who wrote the joke probably knew. So
it's,
you know,
old enough
all of
that I believe he wrote it.
Maybe he did. Maybe he wrote
G.I. Jane joke. That woman got short hair. What is this? G.I. Jane?
Who knows?
That was in the moment
joke.
I think because the last joke didn't do too well that he was like, you know what? Let me throw this one out.
You're some
like,
shit.
No, don't throw things at the wall right now. This is the wrong place.
Right.
Yeah, because that's the thing too. It was backed up with another bad joke. The Penelope Cruz, Javier Bardem joke. Here's my thing, man. You know, I'm seeing a lot of takes. I've seen a lot of white women centering themselves with this. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, I'm seeing a lot of white men. Oh, he could have killed the violence of these Negroes. Like, I'm seeing a lot of that too. Fuck them. Here's what the take that I don't understand is a lot of people saying, like, yo, you wouldn't defend your wife either. Yo, we got to protect black women, all these things. And I think it's very disingenuous to say
it's patronizing
that that's not how we feel. Of course we feel like you should defend your wife or your partner. Of course we feel like we got to protect black women and things like that. I tell you the thing I'm most upset about is that, and there's no secret, I love Will Smith. I've been following this dude's career for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I love the man. I've been wanting him to win an Oscar for 20 years. He is, what, the fourth black man to win an Oscar for best actor or somewhere around those low numbers? 30-year career, third nomination, playing somebody who is portraying a father of two legendary black queens in sports and just the world. Like, I'm more upset that we are talking about this and not the fact that Will Smith just won his first Oscar. And I'm not assigning fault to that reason, or, you know, you can put the fault on him, you can put the fault on whoever. It's just a very unfortunate situation that, like, once again, as black people, our moments get taken from us, whether it's by our own doing or, like, by, you know, doing stuff outside of, but it just always feels like we can never just have our moments. And that is what's sad to me. I'm not upset about it. It's just a sad thing when you put all of it together. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I know I'm talking a lot, but last thing I'll say is people keep forgetting this dude is from West Philadelphia, man. I know, like, white people feel comfortable with him as a black man in America, but, you know, he showed them real quick, like, all right, I grew up in the hood. Like, don't forget.
Never don't forget.
Now I'm, you know? I'm looking at that. I'm like, did he just wanted to G up on Chris Rock because he, you know, was like, wait, let me remember my operating system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You taking shots at my wife in public. You think I'm not gonna do that? Or a lot of people are like, is he distressed too? Like, what's going
I
on?
I think he was pissed off. I think it was whatever happened that day. It was such a problem. I can't imagine, like, when you're talking about the Oscars, like, especially working in this industry and understanding the amount of stress anything makes you feel and how intense a day like that can be, that can, like, and that's the last thing you wanted is somebody make fun of Jada. And that's that's the last thing. And that's, and in that moment, he saw his wife upset. And that's a tough choice to be. That's a tough position to put somebody in, especially based on their relationship and how strained it was. We've seen it become
like, because we even saw the memes. People are,
so we could only imagine like whatever, like testing that relationship in, especially in this realm. That's I don't know. Like it's tough to say. It's a tough call to make because it is that kind of anger is a very specific kind of anger, and just only like because. He might have wanted to do more than that. He might have, like, like the least I can do is slap this man. And it wasn't that strong of a slap. Like, it's not like Chris Rock's, like, Chris Rock is...
It was a check.
He was how much more weight does he have on Chris Rock and muscle? Like,
yeah.
He got like, if Chris Rock was able to bounce back from that slap, it wasn't, it was a warning slap, not a...
It would have been a closed fist.
I'm going to break your face slap.
And you're right, too, man. You're right when you say, you know, the fact that it was a warning slap, but you could hear in the tone in his voice, it sounded like I'm fed up.
Yeah.
It was a fed up moment. It sounded like he was fed up. I don't know if he's fed up about, you know, being the butt of a lot of jokes. I mean, they are very open. They're very open family, and they tell us everything that pops in their fucking minds, right?
Right.
But maybe that's by design. Maybe it's like we're, you know, you're talking about us all the time already. Like, let's try to take control of this narrative and just, you know, it's what it can feel like. And, you know, in that moment, that was the way he could take control of the narrative. I don't know. You
but
know,
I think the fucked up thing is that's going to be used against Will Smith, I think, a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. I don't know how long it's going to take before someone like, you know, at another award show's like, and I don't want Will coming up on stage.
But any day, you know, also, you know, he can take that. That's the thing. He wants to make it about, he was like, you made fun of my wife, I'll make that about me. Which is essentially the, like, end of the day, no one's going to give Jada the flag. They're going to respect her from that point on. So he's getting what he truly ultimately wants because he knows he can handle the pressure of publicity. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, I'm fine with you guys focusing on me, but you will always respect Jada from this point on. And they probably will.
And he's like, I don't care if you make more crying husband memes or whatever. Like, I'm built for it. And it's just, and like, you know, when you look at it, you're like, you don't, jokes about people's appearances, especially if they're having some, like, some condition, like alopecia, like, that's just a fucking dumb joke. It's not comedy in even the most generous sense. And on some level, I was thinking, I'm like, man, if Will played it over, he could have gone on stage and just shamed Chris Rock for making a joke like that. And it would have been beyond, you'd have been like, holy shit. I mean, because, you know, I think a lot of times, too, people talk about, are we having a reckoning with what we think is funny still? Mm-hmm. We still talk about people's appearances. And a lot of people have said, like, dude, when you have disabilities, certain things are just fair game for jokes because it's such a small group that it feels like a certain way. But what, you know, like,
it's tough to say. Because then if he did that, then people like along those lines, like, you can't, you're trying to cancel Chris Rock now. And like now.
Right.
But right now, guess what? Chris Rock is still going to not lose his career. Like, it's like you told, like, this is probably the best possible outcome for this kind of a situation because you're not going to cancel Chris Rock for a dumb joke now. And you're not going to have to deal with, like, the guilt, like, him going up there to guilt him. What we learn is talk shit, get hit. And sometimes that might be the lesson that we need to learn.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, listen, somebody wrote on Twitter, you could tell the type of people grew up with by their responses to this. Because, you know, look, my whole thing was, again, you know, the moment it stepped on a little bit and you did it in front of all those people. But I'm not surprised that you talk shit, you hit a nigga. Yeah. Like, and you hit somebody, bro. Like, that is a very common response where I grew up.
And it's not, and it's not a healthy one at all.
It's not a healthy one. No, it's not a healthy one, but it's not a surprising one.
It's a very surprising one. It's not the healthiest one, but at the end of the day, it's not gonna like Chris Rock gets to revive his career from this because he's not been guilted by his joke. This is a thing that we reckoned together, and it's one of the situations where I think everyone involved knows how to handle the aftermath, and a lot of the white people getting involved need to calm down a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the situations like let the community take care of itself. We don't need your input right now. These people. It's like,
yeah, this is unfortunately this business was sorted out in front of y'all. So yeah. I know it feels like it's inviting commentary, but this is very much one of those things too. You're like,
yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, you should have waited till the after party to slap him.
I feel like that was my first like problematic toxic man thing. I was like, nah, man, tighten his ass up at the after party. Like, don't fucking do that shit on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, that's too much. That's too many eyes. If you're really
And here's the funny thing too, and a lot of people aren't realizing this. You know, after the slap, the audience laughed.
Well, they didn't know what the fuck was.
Because a lot of people didn't know what was going on, right? They thought it was a bit. So even if you just keep it at that slap, once people realize it's real, you know, I think what really set people off, because everybody eventually heard the uncensored part, was hearing his voice. Like, hearing his voice and hearing how he sounded after that is what set people off. And you know why? Mm-hmm. It is because, especially when you get like Judd Apatow writing, he could have killed him. Now, he couldn't have killed him from a slap. You know what you got scared of? You got scared of hearing a black man's voice. And you got scared of hearing the anger in his voice. Because that's what you associate black men for, is anger and violence. And once you put those two things together and you hear the tone and you feel that tone. We felt that shit. Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. I felt that shit when he said that, right? And when Judd Apatow felt that, it made him scared of a black man, right? It's not the slap. Nobody gives a shit about a slap. It's a fucking slap, you know? But coupling those two things together, that's what people got scared of. It's like, oh, we haven't heard this side of Will Smith. Will Smith has slapped people before. He slapped somebody on the red carpet. I don't know if y'all remember that. A few years ago, somebody like tried to kiss him and he like gave him a backhand slap. He slapped people before, but then he did, you know, laughed it off. And after it, now it's just a funny meme. But hearing him say, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth, and hearing that octave change, and hearing him stop code switching, which he does often, like that scared people.
Yeah. And on top of it, there's, you know, like you're saying, it really took, because I started watching afterwards and it just felt like a fucking tornado swept through there. Like it was just, the energy was so weird. And on top of that, completely takes all the attention off of like the other sort of firsts that have, or just sort of historical moments. You know, you had Ariana DeBose win as, you know, the first Afro-Latina to win an Oscar. And she's pointing out, she's like, you know who the last Latina to win was? Rita Moreno over there the same fucking role. Yeah. So what are we doing? And you have these moments where there are these like really like these poignant moments, and people are making these observations and celebrating these historic wins. And at the end of the day, everyone's just completely in a state of shock of saying like, OK, he smacked him. Then he got back to his seat. We're letting him cook. Apparently, super producer Justin was telling me that as this was happening, the Academy was, quote, strongly considering removing him after what had happened. But, quote, apparently they couldn't mobilize to make a decision before he won Best Actor.
They had a whole hour and a half.
Well, you could tell also from a broadcast standpoint that they switched it up. Best Actor was probably going to go last, you know, and the Pulp Fiction people were there to nominate the Best Picture. Mm-hmm. But they was like, we got to get this shit. You know, we got to get, because we know Will gonna talk. We know he gonna talk. We got it. We can't end the show on Will Smith giving a speech if he wins, like, which was very likely because, you know, he was a front runner. So they switched up the broadcast as well and made that, you know, the first out of the big three as opposed to the last out of the big three. Yeah, it's wild. It was a wild broadcast. I mean, look, Twitter was very fun last night. It was very funny. You know, but then also it was also the worst parts of Twitter too. Everybody with their takes and centering themselves. And that's just Twitter. That's what it is.
That's the wild part is Twitter. Like in the first hour, you're like, But then you're like, hold on. This is the thing that Twitter does, is they don't let the dust settle. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. in the chaos of it, you can laugh at the most insensitive shit. And then you have to kind of give yourself some distance and really ruminate on what happened. And you're like,
Can I also say this too? Because you brought this point up, Miles, and I want to say this part. I want to say congratulations, you know, from somebody who grew up in a household with deaf people. Congratulations to Coda winning. Congratulations to, you know, the actor winning for Best Supporting Actor. It was a beautiful moment. Congratulations mm-hmm. to the In Memoriam was beautiful. Congratulations to, you know, Ariana DeBose. Congratulations to Questlove, Queen of Basketball. So many. And also congratulations to Will Smith. For winning his fucking Oscar. Like, I wanted, like, you know, we're like you said, we're talking about this slap and all these moments that were so great last night that really celebrated a lot of brown people and a lot of marginalized people and a lot of really fantastic artists. A lot of moments that were celebrated are now overshadowed. As somebody a part of the black community, as somebody who has family in the deaf community, those were very special for me to see. So I want to publicly be able to say that those were beautiful as moments.
And I agree with that. And I think it's going to suck because that's the way these moments do get diminished. But I don't. One of the greatest shames of these kind of situations is when any time black people do any sort of reaction, if it's treated like the society's going down the fucking well. And people feel that this is going to be the standard norm of how people react. And it's like, y'all need to calm down. That's not how the world has not changed. Every comedian is not going to get slapped the second they get on stage from this point on. And you don't have to voice that opinion. And I think it's those. I feel like the issue is that the Oscars are what they are. And they've never been fully representative of how they should award people of color. And when we have our tiny wins, it's always a shame because they always make it a bit of they always never focus on it. But
yeah,
it's still good TV. Look,
it was good. Chris Rock said that right after, like, yo, this is gonna be the greatest moment in television history, right here.
Right? I almost watched the Oscars myself because of that moment.
Seriously.
And that's the thing too. The hosts were great. Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, Regina Hall did fantastic. You know, black producer, it felt black. All the music was black. The music all night was black. Like all the interludes in between, when everybody won, Lovely Day was playing. Like it had like a really unique energy to that performance, which is why I guess Michael Che was like, hey, Oscar's too black.
Well, shit, I think we're gonna have to end it on that one. Solomon and Jaquise, thank you so much for joining me today. Solomon, where can people find you, follow you? I know they can see you in Minneapolis coming up, but let people know. And what's a tweet that you like also?
Yeah, Solomon Giorgio all across the board, Twitter, Instagram. There's no other Solomon Giorgio. If there is, take him out for me. And I actually will have a podcast coming out March 31st with Team Coco called The Juice. It's about just gossip, small-scale gossip, no celebrity stuff, just insane shit that people submit to me. And I'm very excited for that. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Oh, yeah. Tweet. Is there a tweet or any other work of social media that gave you a chuckle? Can be slap related or not.
It is slap related, and it's somebody edited the slap and ended it with the Everybody Hates Chris theme song. And that got me.
Very funny.
Oh shit.
So funny.
Jaquise, thank you so much again for helping me host today. Where can people find you and follow you? Well, what's a tweet you like?
I'll be here all week, y'all. Yeah. So as always, you can find me in these streets at Jaquise Neal on everything. Maybe after this week, we'll finally get over that threshold and we can release the nudes. Who knows?
10K.
I got three tweets. I got three tweets for y'all that I think are all funny. It's all about the Oscars last night, but they're all funny. This is from #HalterCropTop, or their username is Tom Cruise's Shoe Lifts, which is very funny. And it was like, the Oscars about to be whiter than ever next year, which is true. A homie of mine wrote a tweet who is Leonard Smith Jr., very funny comedian here in L.A., And he was like, between Judge Jackson, the season 3 premiere, Atlanta premiere, and Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, then winning an Oscar, black folks done had a hell of a week. funniest tweet, though, comes from at Zach Fox. And he was like, niggas slapped me in front of Zoe Kravitz. They gonna have to put me down like Old Yeller. So true. So true.
God. So much. So much happened.
Oh, man. That got me. That one got me.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, MilesGofGray. I see a lot of people tweet at me and then misspell my fucking last name, but you spell my handle right. How the fuck are you going to do that? And also check me out on the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. And also coming up soon, the premiere episode of Mad Boosties, the new basketball podcast we're doing. You might hear Jaquise Neal pop up in one of those early episodes. Maybe. That, you know, just something to think about. That will be coming out soon. We'll have more info about that coming out. A tweet that I like, it's from Io Adibri, at Io Adibri tweeted, ACAB includes the fashion police. And I just love that shit. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got the Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
There he is. Thank you, Jaquise. And you can also check out all the articles we talk about, as well as some of the songs that we ride out on this wonderful day. We are going to ride out on a track by the band Air, not the like electronic French duo, you know, Air. This is actually a group called Air that was from like the 70s and 60s in America. They're like a funk rock jazz, more like rocky jazz group. And this track's called Mr. Man. And it's just got some like, you know, Saturday morning cleaning energy, you know, just something light, but just it just exists in the background and is also, you know, kind of catchy. So this is Mr. Man by the group Air. Again, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get those free podcasts. We'll be back later to tell you what's trending. And until then, we'll see you later. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.